Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody. Everybody. Wow, that was a great intro. Let's try that again. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Southside Beat. It is Tuesday, April 9th. My name is Chris Halleck, and I'll be flying solo yet again because Corey Christen just covered the Pirates' loss to the Tigers. They're up 3-1, and David Bednar blows his third save of the season. It's becoming maybe a concern for Bucco fans, but this is a Steelers show, so we will be talking about Steelers on here. And thank you, everybody, for joining, for tuning in. And if you're not tuning in live, I appreciate you watching this back or listening to this back on wherever you listen to your podcasts. And really appreciate every single one of you. I cannot say that enough. I know that there are times where I really say it like way too often, but it's not because it's not too often. But thank you guys for tuning in, and I want to reward you guys with another opportunity to bring your questions, your concerns. Let's talk about them. This is going to be just as much your show as it is mine. Today, the lighting looks a little bit different just because, like, the storms in Texas are brewing, and I don't have the nice natural light that I normally get, so I've got, you know, a different light set up here so you can at least see my face a bit. Lori coming in with job related, not necessarily Steelers related, but kind of Steelers related since my job will depend on covering the Steelers, obviously. Lori asks, when's the move? The move will be most likely in June. I need to be up there for sure by training camp, which obviously training camp doesn't begin until like mid to late July. Mike in Texas, this looks like Chris is stuck in the eclipse. Hey, you know what? This is the best lighting I could possibly do. It does look a little weird with the dark background and everything. I could probably brighten up the back. Ah, that looks a little bit better. It does look, I don't know why I didn't turn that on. I'm an idiot. It looks a little bit better now. Listen, yeah. It's not like bright up here and then dark back there. It looks a little bit better. But yeah, the move, dude, you're not kidding. Of all the things that I don't have for this job, I do need to get one of those like light rings or whatever. We had one yesterday. I mean, it was 93 million miles away, but we had one yesterday in the sky. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I do honestly need to get one of those for sure. But the move, most likely in June. We are in the process. We're trying to get the house listed here in a couple of weeks. So we were trying to get by the middle of this month. We're a bit behind. We still have to get the roof replaced on the house. We are in the process of that now. I'm waiting for the check to get back from my mortgage company before I can get a roofing company out here to start that process and get that done. But that's the last big hurdle. Anything else we're doing in the meantime is just, you know, cleaning up, getting the house list ready, pretty much if you've never sold a house before, at least the way it works whenever it's a neutral market, or if it's a buyer's market, which right now it's a neutral market. So it's good for us because we're both buying and selling. The big thing there is you're essentially trying to make your house look like it's not, look more like it's staged than somebody actually living in it. So there's a lot of stuff up on the walls that's not anything have to do with our family, stuff that's not normally up on the walls, because you don't want anything personalized or anything like that. And yeah, it's interesting. It is what it is. It's part of the process. So if you live in the DFW area and are looking to buy a house, there's going to be one on the market very soon, about 30 minutes outside the city. So yeah, it's a stressful process, but if everything goes according to plan, we hope to be moving sometime in June, definitely after the school year ends here. Billy asks, when's the Steelers move for a center going to happen? I'm going to say by the time, I'm going to say by the time the draft is over, there will have been a center added to the roster one way or the other, or added to the team one way or the other, whether that is a free agent signing, whether that is a trade, or whether that is a draft pick. I do think that center is going to be addressed by the time the draft is over, which the draft, first night of the draft is 2 weeks from Thursday, so 16 days away. So by the time the draft ends on Saturday, on that Saturday, so 2 weeks from Saturday, I would bet pretty strongly that that center is taken care of there. So, Mike asks, any word on the draft party? We haven't made any final decisions on that yet. We kind of need to iron out how exactly the coverage is going to go, because obviously the most important thing is making sure that we are making sure that we're actually doing our job, right? And that is like covering the draft. I don't know. Obviously, I know the Pirates would be playing around. I'm trying to think of like how available DK might be. You know, he'll obviously be very involved in the draft and everything like that. But again, as I mentioned before, the guy is all over the place and he is covering everything. He was in Toronto covering Penguins. The Pirates are going on right now. So I would assume that there might be something else that pops up that might, especially whenever he knows he can, you know, trust Corey and myself to handle some things, especially maybe on day two or day three. But I would expect us to get that part of it ironed out first. And then if we do some sort of draft party on here, it'll probably be just one of us. And if when I say one of us, probably just me. But it really depends on what all we're going to be doing in terms of coverage, actual coverage. And it would be a lot of fun to do. I have no problem admitting that it would be a lot of fun to do a draft party on here. Maybe for night one of the draft. I don't know if for day two or day three would be good. So we'll see how night one goes. And if like DK and Corey can handle everything going on the south side, then maybe we'll do something on here. We'll see. Let's see. Let's go through a couple of other. Steven says you should require the next owner to not take the Steelers gear down behind you. So what's funny is that this gear behind me goes up and back down every single day. I just keep the nails in the wall, and I just put the stuff right back up. This is in my dining room. I don't have like a man cave or anything like that. So, this stuff goes up and then it comes right back down, just because this one random wall of Steelers gear is a little awkward when it comes to, like home design and stuff like that. let's see. Brian asks, Graham Barton in the second round. I don't think he's going to make it that far, to be completely honest. It seems like he's really shooting up draft boards right now. I think even with some teams, I'm not even saying like some like draft sites and how they put their draft boards together, I even think some teams in terms of centers are ranking Graham Barton maybe even ahead of Jackson Powers Johnson now, just because of the concerns over medicals. So I highly even as we sit right now, I'm really doubting that Graham Barton's even available come night two. So that's just my feeling right now. Ben asked an interesting question. I got this question in live queues on the site in our Steelers feed yesterday too. It is a bit interesting. Ben asks, do you think Connor Hayward could get a larger role in Smith's offense as a fullback slash tight end? It seems like he fits the MO. Maybe. The one thing, because obviously right now the Steelers don't have a traditional fullback on the roster. And if you go back and you look through Arthur Smith's offense in the past, he's had a traditional fullback at times. And so if the Steelers don't get one, then Connor Hayward would be the de facto fullback. If the Steelers don't get one, I just don't want to automatically assume that the Steelers are going to automatically employ Connor Hayward to be that guy. I don't think they view him as a primarily a fullback. I really do think they view him as a bit of a hybrid type player that can be used in multiple roles. It's one of the areas where I think we're going to see a bit of a difference in Arthur Smith's system that we've seen in the past with Tennessee and with Atlanta. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I don't think it'll look anything too similar to what we've seen in the past under Arthur Smith. So I still think that Connor Hayward plays more of a role of kind of a hybrid type player because, you know, obviously, you know, they got, you know, the Steelers got Michael Pruitt. They still have Pat Freiermuth. They still have Darnell Washington. You know, they've got tight ends, you know, now they've got four, including Connor Hayward. So, maybe we'll see him in that role, but I still think that right now, I'm still a bit, I don't know. I'm not quite committed to put Connor Hayward as like primarily as a fullback. Yeah, Barber says Connor is an offensive football player. That's the best way I can honestly describe him. And Barber did it for me. Brian says tight end is a weak spot on this team. I don't think so at all. Not even a little bit. I'm not saying it's like a superb strength or anything, but when you talk about just on offense, the weakest spot right now is center. I would put receiver after that and then tackle after that. Tight end would probably be after that, but you could even raise questions about quarterback before then. I think, you know, tight end might be the second most secure position on offense. Brian says Muth is overrated. Okay. We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. He's not a good blocker. I'll give you that. But when it comes to his receiving ability, quarterback play for the past two seasons has been pretty terrible, all things considered. So, and when he finally did get some good quarterback play, shoot, man, the Bengals didn't let Pat Freiermuth tear him up again. Like Pat Freiermuth and Kenny Pickett's best game as a Steeler, Pat Freiermuth just absolutely lit them up. And then the second time the Bengals played him, they were like, you're going to beat us, but you're not going to beat us with Pat Freiermuth. And they completely did everything they could to neutralize him and opened up everything else on defense. And Mason Rudolph said, thank you very much. I'll just hit George Pickens all day long. Yeah. This keeps coming up too. And I'll continue to hit the nail on the head here because Mr. Nick of Time says, don't forget we had a high school offensive coordinator last year. Listen, it's not just the coordinator and it's not just the quarterback. It was a mixture of both. There's not one gigantic person who is at fault here. I know Matt Canada is the easy scapegoat here, but listen, I broke it down on like I broke down the film on it, man. It's not like that Matt Canada didn't draw some things up that couldn't have resulted in some bigger plays. Man, players didn't execute either. And a big culprit of that was Kenny Pickett and also Mitch Trubisky. Like, it was just quarterback play was not good. The best the quarterback play ever was for the past two seasons was the last three regular season games and the playoff game last year. That's it. And it was all under Mason Rudolph. Not saying Kenny Pickett didn't have some games where I was like, okay, that was a pretty good game, or he didn't have some good moments. But overall, the quarterback play was not good. I mean, it just wasn't. Offensive coordinator wasn't good. I absolutely did not like the system at all. And Cody says they were both awful. I agree. They were both bad. The system was bad. The quarterback play was bad. Just was. And I even had, and to go back to the tight end thing, I, you know, like if, you know, for Brian, who thinks that Pat Freiermuth is overrated, to me, like you look at like Russell Wilson, like I'm concerned about how they're going to use Pat Freiermuth with Wilson. Now I know that those two have worked out together already this offseason, and that's a good sign. But the Steelers primarily like to use the tight end in the middle of the field. Now, granted, that could be different under Arthur Smith, but looking at Arthur Smith's history, you would think tight end would be used in the middle of the field. Well, Russell Wilson doesn't really throw to the middle of the field. And it's not that he can't. Whenever he does, his numbers aren't that bad. He just doesn't do it very often. Stephen says, I think Muth is appropriately rated. This will be a defining year for him. I agree much more with that. I'm not saying here that like Pat Freiermuth is going to be the number one tight end I take in fantasy football. Like, or he's like this, you know, like he's a top 10 or top 15 tight end, but does he have the ability to do that? 100%. He's got the talent. He's got the talent to be a really good receiving tight end. Really good. I think he'll be at best a below average blocker, but, I think if they can figure something out where they can use Pat more as a weapon in the receiving game, then I think you'll see his ability much, much more. Steeler Lee said, based on what you're saying about Wilson, it has me thinking Fields will start sooner than later. Listen, there are some concerns about Russell Wilson. The biggest concern I have is his lack of willingness to throw to the middle of the field. And that seems to clash with what Arthur Smith did on offense in Tennessee and in Atlanta. However, Russell Wilson still does some things good. He still throws a very, very good deep ball. Very good deep ball. He has for a long time. That has not really diminished. The numbers might be a little less than they used to be, but they're still phenomenal. He's still one of the better deep ball throwers in the game. And that's not hyperbole. That's based off of numbers. And also the eye test. Just watch him throw a deep ball. It looks amazing. He's not as athletic as he used to be. So his ability to make plays outside the pocket are a little more few and far between, but he still can. And Brian asks a good question, because I actually pointed this out whenever I broke down Russell Wilson's tape. Does he not throw over the middle of the field because he's a shorter quarterback and can't always see over the line? Ding, 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 ding. Yep. So, dude's 5'11". Like, there are not many quarterbacks who are that short that have long-term success. And if you look at the way that Russell Wilson has had success in this league, it's been with plays outside the pocket. He's made a lot of great plays with his legs and a really, really awesome arm. Remember, Russell Wilson was also a fourth-round pick in the 2010 MLB draft. Dude has an arm that transcends multiple sports. He's got a heck of an arm, and when you add very, very good athleticism to go along with that, that's why he has made a living outside the pocket. It can happen, and he can make throws from the pocket, but it's more inconsistent, and that's why. When you compare like the way Ben Roethlisberger played when he was younger, he used to make a living outside the pocket and playing that backyard gunslinger type game. He had success with that, but that wasn't going to do well for longevity in the league. And so the one thing Ben Roethlisberger has over Russell Wilson is size. Dude, 6'5", 240. So as he continued to get older, as he continued to learn how to read defenses better, he became more and more of a pocket passer and was able to do more dissecting defenses from inside the pocket and be able to use his size to his advantage to be able to hang in the pocket, to be able to use a very, very strong arm to be able to make any type of throw from the pocket. So yeah, it's that's, I think, one of the reasons why Wilson's game has not evolved the same way as like it has for some other quarterbacks who might have had more of a gunslinger outside the pocket type, you know, game earlier in their career, but then it had to kind of evolve as they got older. Let's see. John says he will have to adjust to the middle of the field passing and play action passes. Play action, he's not going to have to adjust at all. Play action, Russell Wilson does fine. The numbers are good off of play action. Again, my biggest concern is his willingness to throw over the middle. And because if everything is kept outside the numbers, that limits what they can do in the passing game. But one of the ways that the Steelers can really, really put teams in a huge conundrum is if they can run the football the way they want to run the football, then it really will be pick your poison. Load the box and try to stop the run, and then be susceptible to Russell being able to throw the ball over the top, which he can. I mean, you even go back and look as recently as last year, defenses don't do a lot of single high safety against Wilson. They can't, because he can hit them with the deep ball. He can beat them that way. So you load 8 guys in the box, you're susceptible to getting beat deep. You drop more guys back in coverage, run more, you know, cover 2 or, you know, cover 4 or some sort of cover 6, stuff like that. You're now opening yourself up to being, you know, run on by Najee and Jalen. So it's that conundrum that the Steelers put the Seahawks in last year. That to me is the blueprint. That to me is the blueprint for what the Steelers want to do and should want to do on offense. As soon as you start loading the box, we're going to start hitting you over the top. As soon as you drop coverage back, drop an extra guy back to take away the deep ball, we're going to start jamming it down your throat.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And Barbara asks, will the middle of the field be another no-fly zone? I don't think it will be in terms of that. That was a combination of both Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett not wanting to throw over the middle. This might be more Wilson doesn't typically want to throw over the middle of the field while Arthur Smith's offense does. So I don't think they might have to find different ways in order to make it happen, because I think Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin and a lot of the other coaches on the South side on this team are very aware that they need to be able to use the middle of the field more. So I'm really interested to see how that plays out. I really am. Let's see. Let's go through some more. I've been meaning to star some of these comments as they go. Steeler Lee asks, instead of a 5th-year option for Najee, is there a possibility of giving him a 2 or 3 years on a half decent deal? Maybe not right now. I think honestly, if the Steelers are going to extend either running back this offseason, it might actually be Jalen. And that's because Jalen is coming up on his 3rd year and he was an undrafted free agent, which means he's going into the last year of his contract. You know, because all draft picks get four-year deals. First rounders get 4 years plus a 5th-year option if the club picks it up. And then undrafted free agents get 3-year contracts. And so he's entering his 3rd year. Now, granted, he'd be a restricted free agent at the end of the season. So the Steelers don't have to extend him. It's not like if they don't extend him and they get to the end of the season and he becomes a restricted free agent, or he becomes a free agent that all they don't stand a chance to have any kind of control. They do. He'll be a restricted free agent, which means, you know, there's a number of different ways you can do it, but you can, you have more control over how to keep him. So that does bode well for the Steelers in terms of keeping Jalen, but I don't think there will be that sense of urgency to lock up Najee. I think the fifth year option will be the, at least that'll be the first thing to take care of, you know, whether or not they decide to do it. I would be shocked if they didn't. But if they don't, for whatever reason, then okay, maybe they try to approach him about an extension. Stephen A says, yeah, Najee's going to want big bucks and I'm worried that they're going to give it to him. I'd much rather listen. The Steelers tried to give Le'Veon Bell a big contract and it wasn't good enough for him. Just because a running back wants big money doesn't mean that it's going to happen. I think Najee, I think the Steelers should pick up the fifth year option, because I think just based off of what he's done in 3 years. Now, this is 3 years with a bad offensive coordinator and with an at best average offensive line. He's turned in 1,000-yard seasons in each of his first three seasons. He has a better offensive coordinator now, and if the Steelers can address tackle and center before the season, it could be a better offensive line, and I think Najee could have a breakout type season. And see, Josh Dobbs says here, you know, Najee will be lucky to see $8 million a year on the open market. It really depends on what he does this year. If he has another season in which he averages, you know, 3.8, 3.9 yards per carry, gets over 1,000 yards, you know, is productive but not efficient, then yeah, I don't think he gets a gigantic contract. If he all of a sudden, under Arthur Smith's offense and with a better offensive line, turns into a very efficient running back to go along with production, and oh, by the way, he's played every single game so far, knock on wood for you, just for the superstitious out there. Glad my dog didn't bark whenever I did that. We could be talking about a very, very different situation where the fifth year option all of a sudden looks like a gigantic steal. Gigantic steal. Bob says, but Lev Bell, what's an idiot? He had bad advice from an agent, man. Yeah. Cody says extending Jalen will be cheaper. I agree. It would be a lot less leverage there. Steeler Lee asks, do you see George Pickens garnering a huge contract when he becomes due? I think you would have to see. Well, first off, the time to have a contract extension talk with him would be next year. Next off season. Because, you know, he's got 2 years left, you know, so he's played two seasons. He's on a 4-year contract. He's got two seasons left. If he has another year where he continues, okay, so, you know, put up these numbers rookie year, got a little bit better, more productive second year. And if he has another year, if we see continuous improvement and continuous production, then I definitely need to have a conversation next offseason. And it might cost the Steelers a good amount of money, especially if we see any kind of like a huge breakout Justin Jefferson-esque type. Not saying that George Pickens is all of a sudden going to become the best receiver in football, but you know, he's got the talent to. I don't think there's anybody who would really argue with me on that. He's got, oh my gosh, ability. Yeah, the next offseason will be the time to talk to George Pickens. Dang, we're already coming up on 30 minutes in this show, man. Holy crap. I'll try to address a few more questions before we get out of here. I don't want to get out of here any later than about 35 minutes. Let's see. I don't know about this. Okay, never mind. Sorry, let's just talk about George Pickens. I saw a lot more conversation about Najee. I thought this was going on. Cody says if he goes 1,500 yards, he's getting $25 million a year. I still don't know if it's quite that much. 20, if he has like an actual breakout year where he becomes like, in terms of production, like top 10, then yeah, you're looking at 20 plus. I don't know if it's quite 25 a year. I mean, you just remember the contract Deontay got, and Deontay came off a season in which he had over 100 catches and well over 1,000 yards. I think like seven or eight touchdowns. Brian asks, is Pickens really a malcontent, or is that all the media saying so and nobody from the organization? I don't know what media is saying that, but it's not me and it's not here. I have nothing to suggest that George Pickens is some sort of malcontent. I can't speak for other media outlets. I can't. I think you're seeing, anytime you've seen anything with George, I think it's just a receiver. Again, to kind of put this in the Mike Tomlin phrasing, you're seeing a receiver who wants the football. And if for his first two seasons, he's had a bad offensive coordinator and bad quarterback play. That's going to make a lot of people frustrated. Just is. It's going to make running backs frustrated. It's going to make quarterbacks frustrated. It's going to make receivers and tight ends frustrated. It's going to make a lot of people frustrated. Fans too. God, don't want to discount that either. Let's see. Joshua Dobbs says the market for receivers is ridiculous right now. Look at Ridley. I don't think that there are a lot of teams that would have given Calvin Ridley that contract, to be completely honest. I think that right there is, that's an example of there will always be a desperate team, or at least a few desperate teams that are willing to just pay a ridiculous amount of money to have a guy. And sometimes that guy is a dude. And, you know, I understand that what I'm saying here is like, very, very younger person vernacular there, but and sometimes that he's just a guy, he's just another guy. I don't think Calvin Ridley is worth that contract. I don't. And I don't see the Steelers giving that kind of a contract to a player. If the Steelers were in that situation, no way they give that contract to Calvin Ridley. No way. None. Steeler Lee says, I looked at Leggett's tape and he is awesome, especially running after the catch. Yeah, he's one of the guys that I think that if you're looking second round, maybe if everything goes right for the Steelers, third round, I would probably say more second round. Rico coming in with a $10 contribution. Appreciate that, Rico. And he asks, so what is the possibility of getting a cornerback at number one do for the draft strategy? Well, first off, that would change the Steelers draft strategy as it stands right now. Because right now the priority, and I'm going to continue to beat this horse to death, because I've been saying it on the show for over a week, and I'll continue to say it, because now there are other reporters saying it, and I've already been saying it. Tackle is the priority here, specifically right tackle. And you'll see more in my chalk talk that comes out tomorrow, in which I am going to look at five tackles in the upcoming draft. And you'll find out why tackle is the priority. But if cornerback was taken in the first round, just to acquiesce to your question, if cornerback was taken in the first round, either that meant a gigantic shift in the Steelers' priorities, or that meant all of the tackles that they wanted in the first round went goodbye, and the Steelers failed in any attempt to trade up to get any of those guys. then that would mean that the best player available on the board was a cornerback. And then that would mean that the second round would most likely be either tackle or center. Probably best player available on the board by the time that play, that you know, pick comes up. So I don't think cornerback is the move in the first round. I don't. As of right now, I still think it's tackle. And Mike in Texas does kind of, you know, and again, I want to kind of blend this a bit. Mike in Texas says so much for best player available if they're targeting offensive tackle. I think the Steelers are aware, number one, of where they are. They know where they are in the draft. They're picking 20th. So you have to look at what players are realistically going to be available when they're picking at 20 or whenever they're possibly looking at trading up, trading down, anything like that. What players are best available there? Obviously, quarterback is not going to be like a big position there because all the ones that are worth taking in the first round are most likely going to be gone by that point. Receiver might be another situation where all the receivers that are really worth taking in the first round, unless like Roma Dunsey for whatever falls to like 14 or something like that, and the Steelers have a potential trade up scenario and they make that work. That's a very gigantic hypothetical that I don't think happens, but you have to look at where they're picking. Then you have to look at the best players that are that could be available at 20. And then look across, where do we need help? Where don't we need help? You know, if the best player available on the board at 20 is a running back, it would be stupid to take a running back just because, oh, well, it was the best player available. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. Or if the best player available was, you know, an edge rusher, you know, yeah, you could, in theory, you know, take the best player available, but how much sense does it make to take an edge rusher at 20 whenever you have TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, and Nick Herbig? It makes no sense. So I think that when teams go in to take best player available, they go in that with also the common sense factor as well of we can't just blindly go top of the board no matter what position. Like, position is weighed into it, and it should be weighed into it a little bit. But, yeah, you shouldn't – for example, center is a bigger need than tackle. But I think if you take – if the Steelers take Graham Barton – while Fuaga is available at 20, that's a stupid pick just because you reached for a bigger need. Like, that is why I think tackle is most likely the pick in the first round, because there are a number of guys that can be or that will realistically be in the Steelers' range in the first round. But it is a good point to bring up. It is a good point to bring up because, you know, some people hear best player available and they think that, okay, you know, I thought you were going best player available, not just drafting for need. No, they shouldn't be drafting for need. But I also think tackle is not their biggest need either. I think the Steelers understand the importance of the tackle position. I think the reason why tackle is the priority is because they know how important it is to get that position right. Because outside of quarterback, tackle might be the most important position on offense. It might be. Because receiver, while is becoming more and more and more valuable in the league, tackles affect both your ability to protect the quarterback and your ability to run the football. And you have to get two of them. So I think that is, I mean, shoot, man, the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl and they had one of the worst receiving cores I've seen in a while. Like, their receiving core was a liability all season long. If it weren't for their receiving core, the Chiefs would have far and away been, they might have actually had a chance to go like 15-2 or 16-1. Like, it was a gigantic liability for this team. Huge liability for this team. And they still won. But you have the tackle position figured out. You got bookends on the offensive line, especially if you can get both in back-to-back seasons in the first round of the draft. I mean, think about that. If the Steelers were to somehow get Fuaga, who might be the best right tackle in the draft. And if not the best, one of the better ones for sure. Or if they were to get JC Latham, you know, another one of the best right tackles in the class. Like if they were to get one of those guys for the next three seasons, you have cost control bookends on your offensive line. So, And when you look at the way, when you look at Andy Weidel's history with the Eagles, when you look at what the Steelers say and what they're doing when it comes to the way they've reshaped the offensive line over the past two off seasons, I think trenches are becoming more and more of a priority on the South side. And that's why I think, I honestly think that's why tackle is the most important thing. So, all right, that's probably a good place to end it. We're over 38 minutes in. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Corey should be back tomorrow, I think. The Pirates are off, so there's nobody having to go to the ballpark to go cover anything. And I don't know if there's any kind of pit situation, but I think Corey will be back tomorrow. I also think that tomorrow DK and Ramon will be back tomorrow. So tomorrow should be a pretty good day here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Steelers YouTube page. Stephen says, then imagine Chris Jones running through whatever backup center they throw out there. Yeah, it's they. Center is a big time need, man. Center is a big time need. It's a huge need. I'm not denying that at all. Center, they need to address center. And that was one that was asked earlier in the show. They need to address center for sure. And I think it will be. I would be shocked if by the time the draft is over, the Steelers don't have themselves a starting center one way or the other. I'd be very surprised if that didn't happen. To bookend the show, Brian Bednar, rough start. Yeah, three blown saves already, man. Pirates had that one in the bag. Martin Perez, eight strong innings, man. And then that one should have been in the bag, man. Would have been 10-2. 9-3 is still a heck of a start. But yeah, when you have a win right there, it just slips through your fingers. Yeah, that sucks. All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Probably back to normal tomorrow. Mike in Texas back to normal for one day. Hey, man. But hey, just enjoy it. You know, this is life in the off season, especially this time of year where we're kind of leading up to the draft. It's kind of the way it is with training camp. There's that quiet before the storm, before training camp. There's kind of a quiet before the storm with the draft, and it'll be interesting. All right, guys. Appreciate it. Peace out. Catch you guys on the flippity flip. Have a happy Tuesday. See you tomorrow for Hump Day. Peace.